I'm Rachel C. Swanson, and you're listening to the Refine and Restore podcast. Welcome to the podcast where I help strip away the lies that are holding you back and restore your heart and mind back to what is true. From faith, relationships, purposeful living, personal and spiritual growth insights, this podcast is designed to provide inspiration and encouragement to help you grow into the person that you are meant to be. Hey guys, Rachel here. It is a drizzly, rainy day. I don't know what it's like on your part of the world, but it is raining here. I just got back from my weekend speaking in Texas, which was so fun, for a women's event about being cherished with a purpose. And what an honor it was to share with them. And this idea of being cherished with a purpose, it goes hand in hand with the message of my book that's releasing in October called Refine and Restore, being revived to understand and release the purpose that God has for you. So if you have any interest in having me come speak on this topic, or that you want to create an event for me to come speak at about how to revive your heart and release your purpose for this world, connect with me on my speaking page at rachelcswanson.com, and my assistant and I will help coordinate a way for me to come this summer or even fall. All right, so today is episode 22, and I wanted to go into some practical, intentional practices that I have put in place over my life in order to have less overwhelm and increase my productivity when it comes to the work that I do. And there are 10 things that when I implement these 10 things into my life, I feel the weight of stress and worry fall off my shoulders. I feel so much more aligned to my callings. I have less guilt and less distraction. I am more in my lane of where God wants me. And all in all, it just makes for a much healthier and happy life. These days, we are so much more busy than we've ever been before. We have so much more space to fill our schedules to overwhelming amounts of stress and anxiety in our life. And you know what? I've been there, and sometimes I still feel myself edging into that category, and I have to continually go back to some of these practices about what I do to get back the peace and the alignment and the productivity and just a feeling of I'm not overwhelmed all the time, right? This is what I want to teach you today. Number one, making the bed. I know, this sounds like such an easy and simple and kind of silly type of practice to do, but I guarantee you, friends, this is even going to change your life because making the bed is really important. I used to be one who didn't really care. I would leave the bed all rumpled up and uncovered, and I just, you know, was too busy for it, right? But here's the thing. This little act of making the bed reinforces that the little things matter. And it also gives you that quick sense of accomplishment in the morning that feeds into the rest of the day. And there was a recent army official who talked about this emphasis of how important it is to make the bed and how he makes his bed every day. And that this really emphasizes the act of being disciplined and having an act of mindfulness about you. So if you want to have more discipline in your life or be more mindful of the little things and have more accomplishment that feeds into the rest of the day, taking just 5 minutes to make that little darn bed and get it all prepped up and pushed around and pull down the sides and fluff up those pillows and put them up, and that's all it takes. And you will feel so much more clear-minded and ready to tackle the next thing that's in front of you. All right, number two, I want to encourage you to start the day with prayer and devotion to God. I don't always do this, but when I do this, I have so much more peace and clarity, and I don't start my day off with feeling like I'm rushing and going crazy with my thoughts. Because if you are like what a lot of people do these days, and I'm just going to point it out, but if you're like many who jump on their phones and start scrolling social media the first thing in the morning or start checking your emails, you're going to set yourself up for distraction, for overwhelm, and stress for the rest of the day. But when you start your day off with prayer and devotion, writing out the things that you read or just being intentional with, even just those first 5 to 10 minutes, it doesn't mean that you have to take a whole hour in prayer and devotion. I'm just saying like 10 minutes. Give yourself the first 10 minutes you wake up and you do this. This one quote really emphasizes this point so well. It's from Martin Luther, and it says, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." It sounds countercultural, right? It sounds counter to the fact of, I have so much to do, I should go and start getting all those things done right now. But Martin Luther encourages us that no, in order to actually be more productive and actually have the right mindset moving forward, we must start our day off in prayer. Now, like I said, you may not have to do 3 hours in prayer unless you feel like that's where the God's leading, but I would encourage you to even just spend the first 10 minutes. And so I make it really easy on myself. I have my prayer or my Bible next to me on my nightstand in the morning, and I have a journal. And what I do is first thing in the morning, I sit, and I actually stay seated in my bed to do this. I sit myself up in bed, and just because I don't want to be distracted and get up and start doing things. So I just sit and I just read and then journal my prayers and my thoughts to God. And it has always, always turned out for the better. And it's worth pursuing this little task in the morning. Number three, make my yeses count. This is something that we don't do enough of. And the opposite of that, it means you need to make more no's in your life. Okay, you need to be saying no to more things than you probably are if you're feeling very overwhelmed and frustrated by the state of your life. Lisa Turker says this so well. She says, "A woman who lives with the stress of an overwhelmed schedule will often ache with the sadness of an underwhelmed soul." So much of us, we live with the stress of an overwhelmed life, and we are overwhelming our schedules to the max, thinking that this is the best thing for us. And yet, what if you could change that? What if you start saying no to more things? It's going to be really tough, and you're going to have to say no to some things that you really want to say yes to. But in the season of your life that you're in, you really have to process and think, is saying yes to this worth my soul feeling completely overwhelmed? I really believe that in order to have a more healthy state of life and have more peace and have more focus, that we need to put less into our packed schedules and really get to a place where we have some breathing room. So start saying those no's, ladies, and make your yeses count. Number four, connect your spouse to your Google Calendar. If you guys have a scheduler, and I'm all about having schedulers. I used to have those paper schedulers, and those worked for a while. But I will be honest, we've gotten to a place where I have it all on my phone, and it's connected to my phone, and it's really, really helpful. And another important part that's been really helpful to this is connecting my own husband to my Google Calendar. And so we have a shared family calendar, so that way he understands and he knows what's on the calendar and what my schedule looks like. So when he's out and about and he's doing things, or if he even wants to plan an event or do something, he can look at the calendar and see if I have anything going on that I've scheduled. And that is literally within minutes is when I put something in, it pops up on the calendar. So he knows it's totally up to date with the going ons of what's happening in our life. Or he can even look and see, okay, what does Rachel have planned for us? Or, you know, when is our date night? Or when is this? Or when is that going on? And so having us connected has really helped, because we are less likely to get frustrated with each other when it comes to what our schedules look like, or having to waste a lot of unnecessary time connecting or changing or making a change of plans. This is just something that's been a really helpful tool for my own life, helping me feel less overwhelmed and also just staying connected to my husband. Number five is set a routine for your weeks, but be open to unexpected changes to your schedule. You may be wondering what this exactly means, but basically it means it's still important to have a sense of what you're going to do for the week. You know, you want to have some sort of routine or things in place that you have planned. It's not a bad thing to make plans. However, we must be open to the fact that if things go unexpectedly, if your kids get sick or if something happens, you need to be okay and be welcome to the unexpected. If we are so focused on trying to control our schedule to the last minute detail, and if it goes out of whack, it completely overwhelms us, then we're not having the right mindset about it. You know, the Lord even says in Proverbs 16:9 that a person's heart may plan their ways, but the Lord directs its steps. And this is so true. Like, we can still plan. We can have plans, but it's ultimately going to be up to God, and He will direct what actually comes next. So we have to be okay with the fact that if there's something that went unexpectedly, that it wasn't a surprise to God. And maybe He wants you to learn something from this, or maybe there's something that you didn't see that He is asking you to be a part of. This is something that we need to be mindful of. We need to know that we don't have to keep things in such tight control. And we shouldn't, because otherwise it will overwhelm us. So again, work to schedule your weeks, but be open to the unexpected changes that might happen in your schedule. And I promise you, your heart and mind will be so thankful that you did that. Number 6, fold laundry when you're talking on the phone to a friend. So there are some things that you can actually multitask with and some things that you just can't. Really, this has to do with our brain structure and how God's kind of wired us. So you can't really multitask well when you're on a phone conversation while writing emails, because both are using the side of your brain that utilizes speech and processing those two things. But you can talk on the phone while utilizing a different part of your brain, which is, you know, something you've probably heard, those brainless tasks, right? Such as folding the laundry or cleaning the house, or again, doing tasks that just don't take that additional mental stamina of utilizing speech processes at the same time, say you're talking on the phone. This is important to understand because, you know, sometimes we think that we can multitask. And yes, there are certain things we can multitask with well, and that can help save you time in the long run. But then there are other things that are just not in your capacity to multitask with well. And you need to be mindful of those things and then only do the things that you know works when it comes to multitasking that can move you ahead, and it doesn't create an issue to having to go back and rethink of what actually happened. Because I don't know if you've ever been on the phone and you've been trying to type an email and then you're not really doing either one really well. And it actually takes you more time to catch up and think, okay, wait, I need to call her back. I don't remember catching that part. Or you have to go back to your email and reread it to make sure that it actually is what you wanted it to say. Instead of taking those two tasks separately, doing the talking on the phone thing while you're doing laundry or cooking or doing something that just doesn't take up a bunch to mental capacity. Number 7, don't spend more than you make. Okay, so this is probably, again, common sense, but we live in a world where based on the statistics out there, it shows that we are constantly in a state of trying to spend more than we make. There are so many people who are living off of debt. And this is not the way God wants us to live. And I just want to emphasize this to you, that it doesn't matter how much you make, okay? It really doesn't matter. You can still create a budget to live off of and to stand by without having to go into major debt. I have heard from friends of mine who live on less than $18,000 a year, to friends that make more, well over six figures, even million-dollar businesses. And they create budgets that work for them so that they are not stressing and overwhelming themselves to the max. Now, my husband and I, we've been fairly open to you guys in the past, of especially in episodes 9, 10, and 11, but 9 in particular. You know, my husband was in a very successful career for many years, and budgeting is something that we have utilized in our life. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be in a place right now where we're 35 years old. I'm just gonna say it, but we are actually debt-free. And it is incredible to be in a place where we are debt-free. And friends, we don't make millions of dollars a year. He didn't even make millions of dollars a year. Yes, he was in a fairly successful company, but he still didn't make all those millions of dollars that you think you have to be debt-free. But it did take a lot of strategy and a lot of planning and a lot of mindfulness of not spending more than what we made. I additionally want to make mention that we didn't just keep it all to ourselves. We also give and gave very generously. And I don't say this to brag. I'm just saying this that we don't have this idol worship over money. We're not holding on to it so tightly that we can't open up our hands and give it to those that are in more need. We have an open-handed principle, right? Where we're open to what God gives us, but we're also open to giving it where it needs to be. And at the same time, as we do this, God has blessed us immensely to be able to get to a place where, again, we've had a sense of having to be disciplined about not letting just our emotions or our desires override what our bank account will allow. But it's gotten us to a place now where we really have a freedom of not feeling overwhelmed when it comes to our finances, that we can live in a way where we're making just enough right now, we don't have debt, and we're living within our means, and it's just a really nice place to live and not feel stressed and overwhelmed by the process of it. So friend, really work today to look through your budget, if you can, or sometime this month, and start thinking through of how can you make this work, whatever you're in right now. Maybe it does mean to add a little extra income on the side so that you can make ends meet. But I guarantee you most of the time it just takes looking through your actual budget, figuring out the things that you have in your life. And there are things that you just may have to say no to make it work. Maybe you aren't supposed to have cable anymore. Maybe you need to get on a different phone plan. Maybe you need to cut out the exercise membership for now and do something that's cheap, easy, or free online. So there are things that you might need to strategize and figure out, how can I do this so that I can live within my means? All right, number 8, make sleep a priority or take a nap during the day. I love my sleep. So if you're sleep deficient, you may have trouble making decisions, solving problems, and controlling your emotions and behavior and coping with change. Sleep deficiency has also been linked to depression and suicide. So this is not a good thing to skimp out on. Sleep really helps keep your body balanced and repairs the processes in your brain that need repairing. There was a time in my life when I first birthed my twin boys, I had very little sleep. And I really understood the value of what sleep can do to your body and your mind when you get enough, and also the wrecking havoc it can do on you when you have not enough sleep in your schedule. And yes, there was a season of my life where I just couldn't get enough sleep. For those first 6 months, it was really tough. But that is why we need to be mindful of taking naps or taking care of ourselves or going to bed earlier or making sure, again, that we have enough sleep so that we can be more productive. So if we are constantly skipping out on sleep, we're not going to be able to make good decisions. We're not going to be able to do our work as well. We're not going to be able to control our emotions and our behaviors when it comes to parenting our kids and things like that. So really be mindful of getting enough sleep. And whatever that is for you, typically it's 7 to 8 hours, they say. But if you need a little bit more, or if you do fine on less, you know your body best. But just get enough. And if not, take a nap. And number 9, create time for your passions, even if it's just 15 minutes a day to do something that you love. This is so important to help us relax our mind, body, and soul. This brings happiness to your life, and you've got, friend, that is not a bad thing. We can have and experience happiness, and God wants us to be happy as well. And we need to get our minds off of work and the stressors that we have on a constant basis, on a regular basis, because otherwise it will spin us into a cycle of anxiety and depression. And if you've listened to episode 15, where I talk about my anxiety and stress issues, this talks about why it's important to get periods of rest in your life and why it's mandatory to lessen that stress. So if you need to go back and listen in to episode 15, I encourage you to do so. But again, you need to make time for your passions, for something that you love, because this helps you relax. So maybe it's read a book, maybe it's taking a walk, maybe it's crafting, or I don't know what it is, but just do that one thing or a couple things and make sure you make it a priority. And that way you will have a less overwhelmed life. And number 10, this is the final one. Don't be afraid to ask for help. When my twins were really young, I hired a house cleaner because I couldn't keep up while still working part-time and caring for the demands of my twins. You know, in my business, I've even hired help for things from website maintenance to an assistant to get my tasks done, to even hiring my own coach to help me to assess certain areas in my life that I might be missing or aren't as productive in, or they're just not as helpful to me. And so we can't be afraid to ask for help. If you need help, if you even need to find a friend who helps you watch your kids or helps to come over and you guys can do laundry together or whatever it is, whether it's work or home or within relationships, you need to ask for help. so that you don't feel so overwhelmed in your life. And that's that. Those are 10 simple intentional practices that have completely changed my life. And I hope and I pray that this is the first day and the first step towards making those changes that will truly give you back the time that you need in your schedule, the mindfulness that you need in your mind, and your soul will come back to life. Because friend, you are made for more. You're made for more than just an overwhelmed life. You're made for a life that is intentional and purposeful and filled with abundance. You're made for a life that is directed by God to bring all our purposes and utilize our gifts to this world. Do you have a message on your heart to share, but you have no idea where to start? Maybe you enjoy writing and have thought of writing a book before, but feel overwhelmed by the process of it or feel stuck right now and don't know what your next step is. Or maybe you are feeling stagnant in your faith, unsure of what your purpose is. I know what that used to feel like, and that's why I'm now here to help mentor you through the process. Grab one of my free discovery calls by going to my coaching page, rachelcswanson.com/coaching, and check out the types of coaching I have to offer. As always, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook using my name, Rachel C. Swanson. Can't wait to connect with you.